got a problem with something, particularly technology, and you're trying to get something to work. And what do we do today when we're trying to get something to work in this day and age? We Google it, and we see if there's a solution or an answer to the problem that we're having. And the cool thing is that most of the time you can find a Google article. Sometimes it's just right on the page. You don't even have to open a link. Or you might find a YouTube video with instructions to how to fix whatever problem you're dealing with. And I don't know if you've been like me, but there's times that you go and you find the instructions and you follow step one, working. Step two, it's working. Step three, it's working. Step four, it's working. And great, that's awesome. Everything came together. But other times, you click step one, you do that step. You attempt to. They say click the thing that's up in the upper right-hand corner. There's this button that's there. And you go to look, and that button's not there. And so you don't know what to do because the instruction they're giving you doesn't apply to you, and so you can't fix the problem. And it's so frustrating, and you try to search for other answers to resolve the issue. Or you might find one that's step one, yeah, did that. Well, that's working. Step two, that's working. And you start to feel a sense of hope rising that maybe this time I'm going to find the solution. You do step three, you follow that instruction, and that's working. You get to step four. Push the button on the upper right-hand corner of the screen, and it's not there. The button that they're telling you to do is not there, and you can't fix the problem. And you had hope, and you were feeling a sense of satisfaction that you were going to get where you wanted to get to, and yet everything falls apart on that fourth step. And sometimes life is like that. As we talked about last week on the Easter message, Jesus' I Am statements and how He wants to fulfill the desires of our heart, and He satisfies the desires of our hearts. And yet sometimes we do the steps that Jesus calls us to do, and yet there's still a sense that there's still something more. There's still something missing, something that I don't quite have yet. And that's the reason why I asked the team to perform a song for us. It's not a worship song. It's a secular song. I hope you'll indulge us with that. But the words to this song capture an idea that I believe the Lord wants to teach us this morning. And so the words will be on your screen. We know it's not a worship song, but we want you to know what the words are to capture this illustration. And so worship team, thank you, Steve. Would you lead that?
Mountains, I have run through the fields only to be with you, only to be with you. I have run, I have crawled, I have scaled these city walls, these city walls. But I still haven't found kingdom come, and all the colors, they will bleed into one, bleed into one. Yes, I'm still running. You broke the bonds and you loosed the chains, carried the cross of my shame, of my shame. You know I believe it, but I still haven't found what I'm looking for. But I still haven't found what I'm looking for.
Thank you very much, team. They did a great job at that. If you think so, please mention that in comments. And I hope you see why that song is fitting. And if you're watching this after live streaming, if YouTube tags us and that song's gone from the video, you'll know why. We might have had a copyright tag, but hopefully it stays. But you might have heard in that song a couple of things sounded like Christian lyrics, and that's because many people believe that Bono is a Christian, although you hear him, the cry of his heart of trying out a number of different experiences in an attempt to find fulfillment, and some of those are spiritual experiences that he attempted to find fulfillment with. Some of them are Christian experiences, and yet he still said, I still haven't found what I'm looking for. And why does that matter to us? Why is that relevant to us? Well, that's because in our walk so far, we see in the first chapter of Ephesians that God has provided so many abundant things for us. He's provided his presence and his backing and his power and his wisdom and his help. And he's provided so many things to us to have. Yet, for some reason, even though it's available, we still don't have it at times. And we saw in the second half of the chapter that that's because there is a right posture that we need to be in before the Lord, to be on the receiving end that he of the things that he freely gives us. And so we might have it available, but we're not experiencing it. And then we have, in chapter 2, the explanation of a more deeper understanding of what salvation is. And we can see that we can receive Jesus, but still not have the fullest impact of what salvation was meant to do in our lives. And so there again, we've experienced something, but we still haven't fully found what it was that we were looking for. There is still not a full sense of satisfaction and fulfillment. Then we saw last week in the Easter message that Jesus satisfies the desires of our hearts if we can understand who he is in those I am statements. And so it's almost like that YouTube video that says, do this, do this, do this, do this, and when am I going to finally get to the point where I feel fully satisfied and fully fulfilled? And I want to tell you this morning that as we get to chapter 2, we're going to start at verse 11, that there is still yet another part of the journey that we have to go on in order to find this satisfaction. But I don't understand what gives. Jesus satisfies the desires of my heart. What's the point of this whole journey where I'm going, where he's telling me to go, and yet there's still more? And the reason for that is right in line with the theme of Scripture. Because you have Jesus, when he taught about the kingdom of God, he taught about it in parables. And he said that the kingdom of God is like a treasure, that when one finds it or finds the property, piece of land where it was, he sells all that he has to buy that land and he aggressively pursues that treasure. It makes me think of the movie National Treasure. I don't know if you've ever seen that movie with Nicolas Cage. He is a treasure hunter, hunting an ancient treasure, and he finds a clue, and he follows that clue and finds where he thinks the treasure is going to be, only to find that there's just another clue to where the treasure is. And he keeps looking, he keeps moving from point A to B to C to D, and he still hasn't found the treasure. And other people are telling him that it's a hoax, give up on it, but he just strongly believes in his heart that this treasure is out there. I just need to keep working through the steps to find out where this treasure is. And it's the same way with finding complete fulfillment and satisfaction in the kingdom. Is it's a journey. You have to keep searching from one step to the next. In fact, he says that the kingdom of God is like when a coin was lost and the woman tears up his whole her whole house to find that coin. Or the one sheep that is lost and he leaves the 99 to find the one sheep at great risk to find that sheep. Or you have Jesus saying that you will find me when you search for me with all your heart. And so there is this journey that even Abraham had. Abraham was promised to inherit a kingdom or a promised land, and yet he died not really ever finding that promised land. But he had experiences with the Lord, great experiences with the Lord. He had experienced the reception of the promised son to him in his old age. He had experienced great things, and yet Hebrews would tell that in his heart he still knew that he still had not yet found what he was looking for. There was still a sense of longing that there's still more to this. And as we journey to follow Jesus, before that, all of us had this sense that there is something that I'm craving that will bring me satisfaction and completeness. And in our pre-Christ days, we searched out many things that were not of Christ to try to find fulfillment and satisfaction. Even sometimes in our after-Christ days, we still try to find satisfaction and fulfillment in other things. And yet we find that those things don't satisfy, or they don't satisfy for the long haul. And as we're journeying, we discover at some point Jesus Christ, and we surrender our life to him, and yet we find that even though we experience great moments with him, a revelation of who he is, an understanding of Scripture, and we walk through numerous doors, there's still this sense that there's more. And that's because you will never arrive at the place of full satisfaction until you are truly in his kingdom in eternity forevermore. That's when you'll find the satisfaction. But the only way to get there is to go through Jesus as the way and the truth and the life. The only way to get there is to pick up your cross and follow him, to follow after him wherever he tells you to go. So if he says to get in the right posture, get in the right posture. If he says to understand the depths of his salvation, then understand it. If he says to understand who the person of Jesus Christ is, then understand him. If he says the second part of this journey, if he says to walk through this next door, then you must walk through this door. But what is the next door? Ephesians chapter 2, beginning at verse 11. Paul writes, "Therefore, remember that at one time you Gentiles in the flesh, called the uncircumcision, by what is called the circumcision, which is made in the flesh by hands, remember that you were at that time separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world." Verse 13. "But now in Christ Jesus, you who were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made us both one and has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility by abolishing the law of commandments expressed in ordinances, that he might create in himself one new man in place of the two, so making peace, and might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross, therefore killing the hostility." Verse 17. "And he came and preached peace to you who were far off, and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have access in one Spirit to the Father. So then, you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure, being joined together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In him, you also are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. What is the goal to all of this? We see that this funneling of an experience that Paul is detailing out for us from the first chapter into the second chapter, that there is the depths of all the resources that Jesus provides for us. And he provides those to the people who are in Christ, who are in the right position before him, who have given themselves to the full experience of salvation. And verse 22, in him you also are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. His end in mind, at least on this earth, is to create the body of Christ. That's you and me. That's those who are following Jesus. His intention is not for you to just be a lone, single follower of Jesus Christ. His intention is for you to be in the church, to be a part of the body of Christ, not just going to church, which now we're doing that through streaming, but we're still doing it, not just going to church, not just building relationships with those in the church, but also ministering and doing things, serving the Lord, and getting fully into the body of Christ. If I don't do that, I'm not where Jesus wants me to be. Jesus wants me to be a part of the church, not saying that you have to be a part of the church to be saved, not saying that you have to do these things to be saved, but are you truly where Jesus wants you to be if you're not the place he's designing this whole thing to make you end up? In the body of Christ. And so I might be lacking, still sensing this sense of not being satisfied, not being fulfilled, because I'm not a part of the body. And this is just one of the next steps of the journey, is that I need to jump into the body of Christ. We can have this fullness of this experience of Jesus Christ if we will be in his church. But how do I motivate myself to be in the church? Because there's a lot of crazy people in the church. There's a lot of challenging people in the church. There's a lot of confusing people in the church. And there's a lot of conflict in the church. And like I've said before, really, that's not just church. That's anywhere you go where there's people. All those things are there. And those things would tempt us to not go in. So how do I motivate myself to go into the church so that I can experience what Jesus wants me to have? Well, to do that, I need to have four ingredients at my disposal to help propel me into the church. First is to experience humiliation. Now, by that, I mean from the word of humility, which is really coming from the word humiliation. That is that we need to have a lesser view of ourselves depending on what our view is. So if our view is too high, then we need to have that brought down. And sometimes in Scripture, God attempts to bring the view of ourselves down, not because he wants to make us feel bad, not because he wants us to make us feel insecure, not because he wants to hurt us or make us feel shame or guilt, not because he hasn't forgiven the things that have happened in the past. But he does it because if we have too high of a view of ourselves, then there is this hindrance of me being able to get into what Jesus wants me to be into. And he says in verse 11, therefore remember, as he's pointing back to the things he had just described, I need to remember what it took to save me in order for me to enter this kingdom. I need to remember where I was before and where he brought me to, so I can understand that this all depended on him. Nothing came from me, and I had nothing without him until he showed up and did the work that he did. And so what is this humiliation? First, note the Gentiles were without a number of things. Verse 11, at one time you Gentiles, and if you don't know this, you are you Gentiles. Okay? Unless you are a Jew, you are you Gentiles. And don't you worry, if any of you are a Jew, you're next up on the list here. But you Gentiles at one time were called the uncircumcised. Verse 12, you were at that time separated from Christ. You had no connection with Jesus Christ. Verse 12 again, you were alienated from the commonwealth of Israel. You could not be linked to the body, because you are outside. Verse 12 again, strangers to the covenants of promise. The promises of the good things to come, the good things available to you, were not available to you when you were outside of Jesus Christ. Verse 12 again, having no hope. And I don't know if you've reached places in your life of having no hope, but this is the emotional dynamic of those that are outside of Christ, having no hope. Verse 12, without God in the world. Verse 13, but now in Christ Jesus, you who were, listen to this, you who were far off have been brought near. Hallelujah. You were away from all of this good things, all of this good stuff, and this beautiful Savior, you were away from it, and Jesus did a work to bring you near. Verse 17, he says it again, you were far off. Verse 19, he says, so then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. You're not just a guest here. You're not just tagging along. You now belong in this kingdom, and you didn't before. And so if we understand this, then we will have this humility that will happen in our spirit that, listen, all this good stuff I have, I shouldn't have a thing of that stuff. But because of what Jesus did, I'm in. I have all of it. And in case there is a Jew here, listen to these words, verse 11, Gentiles in the flesh called the uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision, which is made in the flesh by hands. So the Jews at this time believed that they were close, and yet the very thing that they thought made them close was still an act of the flesh. So just like the Gentiles who were far because they were in the flesh, the Jews who were near also were stuck in the flesh and needed delivered from that. Verse 17, that Jesus preached peace to you who are far off and peace to those who are near. Why did he need to preach peace to those who are near? Because they didn't have it. Because they didn't have peace with God until they embraced Jesus Christ. So whether I was far off or near, whether I was Gentile or Jew, I still needed the working of Jesus Christ to let me in. Jew or Gentile not. Verse 18, for through him we both who? Both the Gentile and Jew. Both the Gentile and Jew have access in one spirit to the Father. It's only by the working of the Holy Spirit that either of us get in. Now, why does this matter? Because most of us are not Jewish. Why does that concept matter to us? Well, one, sometimes we just need to understand the theological nature of things. But two, I think that there's parallel experience for us. Because it's often those who came to know Christ after they really messed things up. You know, some of us have a testimony of how we were messed up. We were really off, and we went so far into the journey of adulthood being off, being without Christ, and we knew what it tasted like to be without Jesus. And then when we came to know Jesus, there was this amazing encounter of knowing, wow, this is what I was missing all this time. But there are some of us that when we're born, we're following Christ from birth. At least so you would think that way, because we're raised in a Christian home, we were raised to follow Jesus, and the furthest extent of our rebellion was that we lied to our parents about breaking that thing, that window in the house when we threw that ball. We didn't have the taste of the world as much as others did. And sometimes if that's where you are, you were near the whole time, you fail to realize how much you still needed Jesus to change you, to transform you, to do a work to bring you in. And just like the song we sang, how wide is the chasm between us and Jesus? That wide chasm was just as wide for you who grew up following Jesus and those of you who did not. All of us needed to be rescued from ourselves in order to get in. And here's where the trick is for Kingdom of God. Some of us don't enter into the church because of arrogance. We don't want to go in there because I don't feel like I need to go in there. I don't need somebody else to help me follow Jesus. I'm good enough on my own. I can study the scripture. I could watch things online. I mean, after all, we're quarantining right now and watching it online, and I'm getting away with it. Why can't I do it when this is over? And so we just decide that I can serve Jesus without the help of anybody else. Arrogance. Absolute arrogance to think that you can serve Jesus without the help of other people. Why in the world did Jesus put up so much work to design his body this way if you did not need support from other people? We need someone to cheer us on. We need someone to correct us. We need someone to challenge us. We need someone to push us and motivate us. We need other people. And yes, other people who are also messed up like us. Well, that doesn't make sense. And this is where arrogance also trips us up in entering into the body of Christ, is that I don't want to go in there because those people are messed up. As if to say that you are not also messed up. As if you are perfect and you don't have any flaw about you. That's not true. You have flaws and weaknesses, and you need to be a part of other people who have flaws and weaknesses so that together we're sharpening each other and challenging each other and, yes, forgiving each other and showing grace towards one another. And if you are not in the church, you are missing something. You are missing a strength, a dynamic that is life-changing, and not even just in the church as attending church. But if you are not building relationships with other Christians, close relationships, accountability relationships, if you're not involved in doing things for the church and getting involved in ministry, you're not really experiencing this, because this is what it's to look like. When Jesus described his church, when the Apostle Paul described his church, he was not picturing just going to church for 2 hours on Sunday morning. He was picturing so much more than that. But the question is, do you want that treasure bad enough to find it by going through the doors of the church? Finding it by putting up with other people. Finding it by working out your issues with one another. Finding it by challenging each other and serving and doing things that you might be intimidated to do. Are you willing to do that to find this treasure at the other end of that? Are you willing to go through the doors of the church? If so, to motivate us, we need to have this experience of humiliation, or to develop humility in our life. Secondly, we need a miracle. Well, what miracle is that that we need? Well, you'll see throughout this passage I read to you that he mentioned what it cost to generate the body of Christ. Listen to these words. It is verse 13, in Christ. Verse 13 again, it is by the blood of Christ. Verse 14, it was done in his flesh. When he came to this earth in the flesh, he was bringing about this life-giving body. Verse 15, in himself. Verse 16, through the cross. Verse 18, through him. Verse 21, in whom? Or in the Lord. Verse 22, in him. This experience of the body of Christ, salvation down to being in the body of Christ, is realized because of Jesus dying on the cross. When he was praying in the garden in John chapter 17, he was pleading with the Lord, make them one. He didn't want to just die for an individual. He wanted to die to make us all one together, one glorious family, one glorious church is who he died to sanctify and wash. And why would we rob him of that? Why would we say, you know what, those other people can go to church. Those other people can help out. Those other people can give. Those other people can serve. Those other people can deal with those relationship things. I'm good over here in my own corner. I don't need any of that stuff. And you are disrespecting the work that Jesus did to give you that. Don't disrespect the work that Jesus gave his life in order to build his church. It was a miracle in that the expense that it took. It was a miracle in what it brought about. Verse 14 has made us both one, both being the Jew and the Gentile. If you understand the context, there was such high hostilities between these two individuals, between the Jews and every other nation, hatred for one another. And Jesus, in his sacrificial work, created the ability to make those two groups of people one. In fact, Verse 14 again has broken down the dividing wall of hostility. Verse 15, so making peace. Verse 16, killing the hostility. Do you understand the miracle that Jesus did? He took two hostile people and made them a brotherhood. In fact, that work does not end in the first century. Jesus still, through the Holy Spirit, is doing a work of taking people, individuals, and groups of people, and making them be able to be one and be at peace with one another. If you have had family relationships, if you have had extended families, you know that families have hostilities and challenges and friction and difficulty, and it is not an easy thing to make a group of people one. And yet Jesus died to make his people one. And when we experience that oneness, that is a miracle. When you experience a bond of unity with other people, and the more people that are added to that number, you experience that bond, that is a miracle that you've experienced. Verse 19, fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. Verse 20, the whole structure being joined together. Now, perhaps if you're quarantined with other family members, your flesh might be crawling from within to want to find some cave somewhere to hide from the people that you're with, because it's challenging to be stuck with people long enough. And Jesus' miracle is not simply by making you get along with other people in a long-distance form. You know, I get along with them as long as I don't have to live with them. Or I can get along with them as long as I don't have to have a conversation with them. As long as I don't have to work together with them, I can get along with them. As long as they just stay over there in their place and stay in their lane and I stay in my lane, everything's good. That's not what he died for. He died so that you and I can get along with one another in the work, so that we can get along with one another in deep relationships with one another, in close quarters with each other. And if you know relationships, you know that is a miracle. That is no easy thing. And yet the Holy Spirit and what Jesus died, the work that he did, was provided to bring that together. The both made one by the work of Jesus Christ, uniting a household. Then verse 15, by abolishing the law of commandments expressed in ordinances, that he might create in himself one new man in place of the two, so then you are no longer strangers and aliens, that our fellow, verse 19, excuse me, so then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. Here he brings up the law, but in doing so, he makes us understand the dynamic that is still at times confusing for people, understanding what changed. Because there's something about the law that has changed that is either no longer relevant or doesn't work the same way as once we're after Jesus Christ. And Paul brings this up, and he says the abolishing of the law and commandments expressed in ordinances, he refers to those. The reason why that happened was that he might create in himself one new man in place of the two, describing the temporary nature of some of the ordinances in the Old Testament and the reason why they were there. Originally, a lot of the statements in the law was to make the Jews separate from other people, to make them a distinct people that were not like others, that were not mixing with others. And the reason was to create a purity place in order to bring about the Scripture and to bring about the Messiah into the world, that if it wasn't for this separation, we wouldn't have. And if it wasn't for that separation and for the availability of Scripture, the Word of Truth, and the Messiah coming into the world, you and I would never get in. And so it had to be this great experience of the law and this separation for a time in order to create the way for us to get in. But once we're in, again, it's only through Christ that we have all of these things. And what does it do, this miracle of what Jesus did, and he's uniting us, and the work of the law that brought a lot of this together? Verse 16, reconcile us both to God in one body. The end goal there is to make us right with God. But we are in many ways right with God when we're in the body of Christ. Not that that saves us, but understand that sometimes we are tempted. Sometimes we're struggling. Sometimes we're having a hard time staying faithful to the Lord. And there is a possibility of us straying unless there's somebody there by our side still pulling us along, saying, no, come on, go this way. No, don't fall prey to that. Come on, let's keep moving. And loving us through that. I don't know if you've experienced times where you were struggling and falling and some loving brother or sister in Christ kept pushing you along, or maybe you were the one pushing somebody else along. And sometimes our salvation is hanging on being connected with other believers. Again, not that Jesus' death isn't sufficient. It is. But sometimes our weak flesh needs somebody else to push us. And we don't have that if we're not in the body of Christ. And Jesus designed his body to urge us to be right with God. We can have this. We can be motivated to walk through that door if we have humiliation, if we have the miracle. Thirdly, if we have the destination. Where is it that he wants me to arrive to if I am church? If I'm a part of the body of Christ, because not everybody's a part of the body of Christ, and not every religious organization is church in the biblical sense. So what is it to be church? Well, verse 20 says, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone. The church is built on the statements and the ideas and the actions primarily done with Jesus Christ, but secondarily, the message and the teachings of the apostles and the prophets, which shows us that we're not done with the Old Testament yet. There is a fulfillment, yes. There is a change, yes. But there are still many messages coming to us from the Old Testament as well as the New. And a part of being church is having a biblical mind, that we're basing our lifestyle and basing our mission and basing our beliefs off of what the Scripture teaches. That is the foundation. That's what we're standing atop of, is biblical thinking. Secondly, verse 21, it mentions that this body grows. This, I believe, is both spiritual maturity and in number. Jesus had no intention that he would save you. And you think of Ephesians chapter 5, that it says that he loves his body or his bride or his church as a bride, and sanctifies her and cleanses her so that he can present her holy and blameless. Jesus' goal in taking you out of the mess that you're in is not to leave you filthy, is not to leave you in chains and still bound to the things that you were stuck in. That's not what he wants. He'll forgive you for your actions that led you there. But he doesn't want to leave you in the hole, in the pit. He doesn't want to leave you in the mess. He wants to cleanse you from all that stuff. And he wants you to grow and mature in your faith so that you can become a vessel used to help other people grow. And he wants that neighbor of yours, he wants that person in the body of Christ. Not just saying some prayer, in the body of Christ, not necessarily this church, but a church that's a part of the body of Christ. That family member of yours, that extended family member of yours, that coworker of yours, that person who sits in the cubicle next to you that drives you crazy, God wants that guy in the body of Christ. He wants all of them. He wants his church growing, both in maturity and in number. This is our destination, is to be a church that's based on biblical principles and value, a church that's growing. Verse 21, holy, a church that is holy, that is living a pure life before the Lord, repentant of their sin, and not. That's why it grieves me to see so many churches not just show grace and mercy to those in their sin, but encouraging them to stay in their sins. That is not the picture of what Jesus wanted to happen. He wanted his church to become holy, not to let that stuff still keep destroying their well-being and their relationship with the Lord, but wants them to be holy. Fourthly, verse 21, in the Lord. You see, if we study the Bible and know it through and through, and we grow in maturity and in number, and we live a holy life, but we're not in Christ, it's all for nothing. You have to be in Christ. And that would be a shame, to live a holy life, to pursue a mission, to grow and develop and to study the Scripture and not end up being in the Lord. That has to be there. And so if we are going to go through the doors of the church, it's not just singing songs and going to services. It's not just attending Bible studies. It's not just teaching children's church or getting involved in leading a connection group. It's not just those things. It's being in Christ, being made holy, growing in your own maturity, growing in number, and following the direction of the Scriptures. That's where Jesus wants us to be. He died to make us that. We need these ingredients to propel us to walk through the doors of the church. Humiliation, miracle, destination, and lastly, the goal. Verse 22, in Him you also are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. He wants each of us to be a part of this magnificent thing, this beautiful thing of broken relationships made whole, of broken people made whole, of people that are weak and flawed and failing and succeeding because of the miracle of what the Holy Spirit is doing through them and finding unity. And in fact, I love that Paul says that it's the weak that display the strength of the Lord. It's the foolish that display the wisdom of God, because through them, people step back and say it could come from no other source but from God, and they see the miracle that happens. This is where Jesus wants to stand up. And so if you found yourself praying a prayer and surrendering to Jesus Christ and yet did not end up in the church, you're missing something. There's a reason why you feel a sense of lacking. If you find yourself just a regular attender and not actually fully involved in relationships with others in the church and ministering, there's a reason why you feel a sense of unsatisfaction and you've not been fulfilled. If you find yourself living right and praying and reading the Scripture, but you're not in relationship with other believers, there's a reason why you feel like something's missing, because there is something missing. You don't have what Jesus Christ designed for you to strengthen you and build you up and fulfill you. That is the body of Christ. And so hear what He's pleading with you today. Don't just be a follower of Jesus, but be in His body. And there is so much richness to be had in His body. Worship team, will you come and prepare to lead us? And whether you're standing or sitting at home makes no difference. But we want to give you the opportunity to respond to the call that Jesus is making. And perhaps it might be a strange time to make this call because you really can't make yourself physically present with the church. But thank the Lord that this is happening in a season in which we have the technology to still connect with each other, even though it's not in person. And there are ways, and sometimes we have to think outside the box in order to fulfill what God calls us to do. But most of you have phones, cell phones, and you have an ability to text each other and call each other and still be in contact with one another. You have the ability to go online and interact with each other as you watch and participate in the service through streaming. As we participate in Bible study on Wednesday nights in Zoom, we're actually able to talk with one another face-to-face through the screen. It's a video conferencing, but we're able to see one another and talk with each other and build each other up. And Jesus wants us to be together, strengthening each other and building each other up. But why is it that you feel so timid to jump all the way in? Is it not worth His sacrifice for the body to exist? Why is it that you're afraid to jump all the way in? Is it the humiliation? Is it that you're afraid that someone might hurt you if you open up? Well, I have news for you. If you open yourself up, there's a good chance someone might hurt you, because we're flawed and we sin and we stumble. But even in getting hurt in relationships, there is so much power and victory in working past those things that you miss out on because you're too afraid of being hurt. Is it because you have too high a view of yourself that you don't think that you need to be dependent on other people? What is it that keeps you from jumping fully into the body of Christ? What is it that stands in your way? Is it because you don't fully understand that Jesus wants this? This isn't just a pastor that wants this. This isn't just a group of people that wants this. Jesus wants the church to be united. Jesus wants the church to be one. Jesus wants the church to be fully functioning with one another. Jesus wants that. What is it that stands between you and jumping into His body? Are you perhaps jumping in, but you're not actually jumping into the destination of pursuing the mission of being biblically minded, of growing, of becoming holy at the enabling power of the Spirit, of being in the Lord? Is that why you're missing it? You're connected, but not exactly the way Jesus pictured. What's keeping you from being in the body of Christ? Is it that you don't understand that this was Jesus' goal? Not to have some individuals separate from one another, but to have one body, one glorious church united together. Will you jump all the way in? And so as the worship team leads us, let's take a moment and let's ask Him to help us to be freed from our fears, from our pride, from our stubbornness of doing it God's way. And let us say today, we're surrendering to You, Jesus. We are surrendering to Your will and to Your way. And if having the fullness of the treasure of Jesus Christ and experiencing Him in all His glory involves being in the body of Christ, then Lord, count me in. And I'm asking You to do a work in my life today to propel me into that. Thank You, Lord. Lead us, worship team. Praise You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Thank You for Your goodness. Thank You for Your death and resurrection. Thank You for Your Spirit. Thank You for the many things that You provide for us to give us life and wholeness. We ask that You would continue to breathe these things into us and help us to have stamina, Lord, to see this as a lifelong journey, not just getting a step or two together and there we have everything, but this is a life pursuit of knowing the fullness of being in Christ. And so help us to push through every obstacle we face. And if you find yourself struggling, there might be a good chance you're watching online because you feel safe doing it in the confines of your home. And you've been reluctant to be actually physically present in the church, and you won't have opportunity till the quarantining's over, but when you have that, you find yourself reluctant to be physically with the body of Christ because of hurts, I want you to know that I understand where you're coming from. Early in my ministry, I found myself in a situation where another member of the pastoral staff and his wife were trying to edge us out and finding ways to insult us indirectly in conversation, and they were really coming down on us. And there was a moment that I wanted to give up being in the ministry altogether. But I kept studying His Word and realizing that no matter how painful this is, no matter how uncomfortable it is, this is where Jesus wants me to be, is in His body. And I'm telling you that there is so much more life, so much more strength in the body than outside. And besides, you're robbing other people of the opportunity to be on the receiving end of the gifts that He placed inside of you, let alone you on the receiving end of the gifts that other people provide towards you. And we find ourselves wrestling and struggling. And the Scriptures say that we learn best by our suffering and trials. And if you're doing your best to eliminate all suffering and trials, then you're eliminating the lessons that Jesus has for you as well. So don't be afraid to jump into the body. And if you haven't jumped in because you're not a follower of Jesus and you'd like to become one, I want to pray with you right now as you surrender your life to Jesus. Or if you're someone that just needs those fears delivered from those fears, the struggle of arrogance or pride or the way you see yourself. Right where you are, the Holy Spirit is there. The same power that is here in this room is there with you. And he wants to give you the freedom and the life that you desperately seek. And so if that's your prayer, pray this with me. Lord Jesus, I surrender to you. And all that that means, if that means changing a lifestyle, I'll change it for you. If that means changing my thinking, I'll change it for you. If that means being a part of the body of Christ, then I'll do that for you. No matter how intimidating, no matter how much that goes against my flesh or thinking, I will walk through the doors of being in the body of Christ if that's what pleases you, if that's what you call me to do. Because in this moment, I'm declaring, I'm placing all my trust in you. And so, Lord, I ask for those individuals that are doing that, that you would give them the strength, the motivation, the drive, the will to walk with you in every way that you call them to. And for those, Lord, that are struggling with fear, relational fear, fear of that they don't feel like they have anything to offer, afraid to jump in to serve, set them free from those things. For those that are struggling with arrogance and seeing themselves as not actually being needy, may you help them to see just how needy they are and how much they need you and how much they need others. And would you open our eyes to see the glory of your glorious church and be compelled to be a part of it. What a privilege it is to be a part of the body of Christ. And may we not take it for granted. And may we not lack in zeal and passion in pursuing Jesus Christ and his body. Fulfill our every longing and give us the stamina to keep pressing on until we find the fulfillment of what you have for us. In Jesus' name, amen. And I pray and plead with you that as you walk with the Lord, this is a lifelong journey. It's not just a step, a prayer, a little action here or there, and you got things together. This is I'm pursuing him until the day of my death or the day of his return. And that's what we want to be. And I'm telling you, you will not be disappointed when you get to the other end. And Jesus is far more trustworthy than any other pursuit you find yourself after. So thank you for being with us this morning. And again, we encourage you to like and share and comment. If you don't know how those two platforms work, the more you comment, the more you share, and the more you like, the more viewership it gets, and it shows up in other places besides just where you're sharing it. So encourage you to do that. That's not just for us to get a pat on our back. It's to get things moving. Also, if you're willing to give, again, that link is available to you. Don't forget giving to our missionaries, and that will help us continue to do what we do. And we've not had too many people asking the prayer team to contact them to pray with them, but I just want to let you know that is available. And I want the prayer team to know that that we are handing them over to you. We've just only had one or two. But if you do want someone to contact you this afternoon to pray with you over any prayer need you have, just communicate with us, and we'll be glad to have someone contact you. And then join us Wednesday. Just communicate with me if you'd like to join. And next Sunday, join us as we continue our journey into Ephesians 3 to find out what it is that Jesus has to do as to our ministry. God bless you. Thank you for being with us today.